Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with the microphone in your hands.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the Sensible Football Podcast, where we are still catching our breath from last Sunday. This is Tariq joining along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
And as you may have guessed from the opening sounds you heard of after the match at Anfield between Liverpool and Manchester City, absolutely electrifying atmosphere, Vishal.
Oof, absolutely. Like, I don't know, as in this feels like 2005 all over for me again, where that Anfield crowd was special almost every night of the season, and irrespective of Europe or the league, there was something special about that crowd, as in that crowd really played the role of 12th man to the T.
And of course it did play the role of the 12th man on a special night when we saw Manchester City's unbeaten run in the league broken.
Yep.
Finally.
Yep. I think whole of England and majority of India and other parts of the world celebrated this.
Which was an odd thing because there were Manchester United fans, including yourself.
Yeah, I celebrated like United won the league, and then I like, damn, desperate times are here.
There are still 12 points between Manchester City and Manchester United. But this was one of the contenders of the game of the year, and we are just 15 days into the year.
This is going to be one of the games of the next 5-6 years. Like Jurgen Klopp mentioned, this is going to be one of those games where you watch it 100 years from now and say, wow, that's a good game.
Or to add another quote of Klopp's, where he said that as a manager you look at a game like this and think, well, how could we have done better? Or as a football fan you look at that and just think to yourself, well, what the F was that?
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. We are talking about, of course, Liverpool 4, Manchester City 3, and we will break that game down for our listeners in just a bit. But before that, we'll just go around the league and get quickly updated on what's been going on. Manchester United with an impressive victory over Stoke.
Yep.
Which means the lead is cut down to 12. Actually, the lead has been cut down after a long, long time.
Long time, yeah.
And for obvious reasons, City had remained unbeaten. Meanwhile, Arsenal losing to Bournemouth after taking the lead. Two goals within 2 minutes, within a 5-minute period, turning that game around. And Arsenal losing away to Bournemouth. Of course, if you want to understand what's going on with Arsenal, we recommend you visit our last episode.
Yes, this was one of our predictions that they'd go and mess it up at Bournemouth.
At Bournemouth. And you can hear from our resident gunner,
who's gone back into hiding after this week.
A 15-minute long rant about exactly that, which essentially also highlights the problem that we could predict that much in advance, exactly how things are going to go. Nothing spectacular otherwise in the league. Other teams keeping up their pace in terms of the chasing pack.
Yes.
But obviously all the talking points were about this one game.
Yep.
Although it does not have a lot of strategic implication.
Yep.
It was crucial that the unbeaten run be broken.
Yep.
Like one of the headlines said, City's unbeaten run ends, but the aura of invincibility still stays. Because it's not exactly that, it's completely gone.
Yeah.
But it does mean that City are beatable.
Yep.
And that is what other teams will be looking at. At least run them close, at least make them earn that title.
Yep.
From here on in.
Yes. So let's get in right into the game.
Yeah,
right?
Let's dive right in because you know we do not want to wait to talk about such a tasty game. Shall we begin with a broad tactical breakdown, and then we get into the nitty-gritties of the game.
So one, like we said, the only way to beat Manchester City is to out-coach Pep Guardiola. And let's be clear, let's be honest here, Jurgen Klopp has outcoached Pep Guardiola in this game. And here's a stat for you. Pep Guardiola's biggest rival in terms of being beaten by any manager is Jurgen Klopp. Jurgen Klopp has beaten Pep Guardiola more than any other manager or any other rival that he's faced in the past.
Has a winning record with managers who have faced him at least 10 times.
That is no luck. That's not coincidence. That is planned strategy, and which is why we were silently betting on Liverpool to be the team to beat Manchester City. Because if you look at how Liverpool set up in this team, right? They had the two wing backs who were pushing up. Ideally, what happens is if you notice a large number of wing backs against Manchester City, because of the fear of Delph or in this case Danilo and Kyle Walker, they sit back, they attract their pressure. But what did Liverpool do? They push their wing backs up front. They push their wing backs, and suddenly the Manchester City wing backs had to defend all over again.
We've kind of spoken about that multiple times throughout the season about City.
Yeah,
this is one of the things that they're most vulnerable at.
And here was a masterstroke for me, where Jurgen Klopp won this in the centre of midfield. Not too many people noticed, but Wijnaldum and Emre Can put in a stellar of a shift in the centre of park, because City normally depend on Fernandinho to spray the ball around to either De Bruyne or Gundogan in this case, and they also try to push Stones up front. They also try to bring Otamendi up front. But what did they do? They one put two people in central midfield and crowded that area for against Manchester City, where suddenly Manchester City had to defend Emre Can and Wijnaldum, who were also pushing forward, who were also falling back, and Emre Can played the role of the midfield general to the queue, and I will bring back a reference for this again later. And most importantly,
was that an audition for events?
And most importantly, one of the players of the season has been Otamendi, with his passing, with his ability to start
in the game.
But that's where Firmino played, and Firmino was, if you saw where Firmino started all his runs, it was closer to half line, though he was the sole striker. Most of his moves were closer to the half and then pushing forward. And at the same time, if you looked at Mane and Salah, they did not play on the wing. They played closer to the edge of the penalty box.
Mane, in fact, scored from exactly there.
So that left the Manchester City defenders in a limbo, because the wing backs couldn't really push up front. Neither could the centre backs push up front, because these two were too quick for any of them to catch. So let's start with that. And all of this pressure led the trump card, which was Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who was suddenly given a free roll.
So which brings us right into the first goal.
Yeah.
Got that space.
Exactly. Because if you look at that
shot across goal with a terrific
because
shot.
There were people marking Mane, there was people marking Salah, there was people marking Firmino, who put pressure on the ball, and which Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain won and made the run and scored that goal. So that was as simple as a breakdown of the tactical masterclass that this game was, because what they did was they actually created one player who had complete license to roam around and you know, spray about passes or create moves for Liverpool.
And in a template that would not be unfamiliar to either Liverpool fans or City fans, just before the stroke of half-time, Leroy Sané was allowed space on the left-hand side.
Yep.
He ran in
and boom,
and shot past Karius.
Poor goalkeeping.
On
this
the
poor
near
goalkeeping.
Post.
This poor defense. Honestly, like, let's be clear about that. I think Peter Schmeichel did a segment on in terms of where the positioning of Karius, where he cannot be standing within the frame of the goal to make that save. The minute you do that, any touch from you get takes the ball into the goal, and that's exactly what he did. He needs to be standing at the post or in front of the post to eliminate all chances of the ball going inside, because that was a completely avoidable goal. But that was a half time, and you know, my biggest worry was, will Liverpool lose shape and form and halftime? And to my fear, it almost came true when Otamendi hit the post in the beginning of the first half. And I was like, oh my God, here we go again. City seemed to be in ascendancy. And that's when, again, the midfield takes control. But here now, they started playing a high line. Liverpool, for some, the amount of energy that team put out that day, they played a really, really high line where, if you remember Robertson, he started chase of one ball at about 30 yards away from his penalty box and ran all the way up to Manchester City's penalty box chasing down one single ball. And that
it was
kind
an
of
effort
pressure
just
is unknown and unseen for Manchester City. And
like somebody said, that was beyond
gegenpressing. Exactly. And if you really look at it, right, a lot of people were talking about the number of mistakes Manchester City made. Okay, now I would like to say that there are two types of mistakes in football. One, by negligence of the player, or by laziness, or by surely making a pure neglect, like I mentioned earlier. But these mistakes were not because of Manchester City players. These mistakes were induced mistakes.
So it's the tennis equivalent of forced versus unforced
errors. Exactly. These are forced errors where suddenly Manchester, if you remember John Stones and Otamendi last season, what were they famous for? Not for the defence. They were famous for reckless tackles, poorly placed passes, and that's exactly what Liverpool got them to do again. Got to put so much pressure on them that these two suddenly have not been exposed to this level of pressure any time this season, and suddenly the reckless passes came, the poor tackles came, and suddenly Liverpool just struck that whole, that I don't know, like the pressure that Firmino put on again to win.
And made every chance count.
Every chance count, and that finish, my God.
Let's talk about goals number 2, 3 and 4.
Yep.
Mane with an absolute screamer from the edge of the box.
Before we go to goal number 3, right, I'd like to highlight something. As soon as Firmino scored goal number 2 and Liverpool gathered at the half for the kickoff, Klopp calls out Emre Can and he says, push forward. And Emre Can which screams out the exact same thing to the rest of the team.
So let's talk about the build-up to goal number 2.
Yeah.
Firmino gets the delivery. I mean, Firmino's finish is a finish that only a Brazilian can
do. Brazilian can do. And against another Brazilian saying, listen, bro, I'm better than you.
They will probably be on the same side of the pitch come the summer of 2018. Yep. But the Manchester City defence could only escort the ball to the goal as far as that chip was concerned. Yep. It was that precise. And like you said, after that, the pressing did not finish there.
That was pure world class from a manager who could have easily said, okay, we are not great defensively, let's put all bodies behind the ball. This is Manchester City, let's try and take at least a point or 3 points. But his first instruction to Emre Can, and I think everybody should go back and watch this clip, is where he says, push forward, do not sit back, push forward. And Emre Can screams the exact same
thing. And they did push forward, and Mohamed Salah from the right from the right hand side goes ahead across and to who else?
To Mane. And I'm telling you, the minute Mane and Salah managed to get on the same level and the same wavelength, I'm telling you, this Liverpool offense only becomes better. They're still working on their relationship on the football field, and you can see that while they're still trying to get to each other, getting to know each other's games, because they play very similar games. It's very hard to play with each other when you have very similar styles of football. But that was a great pass, great setup, and again the ball lost in midfield by Otamendi, and then you cannot lose the ball to Salah at this point in time, because we'll get to that again anyway. But that again, that finish was basically Mane saying, okay, that's where I'm going to put the ball, and
going ahead and putting it with absolute surgical
because
precision.
If you look at the spot Mane picked, it was possibly the most difficult spot on the in the goal, because he picked the top left corner, which is the near side for Ederson. And he said, still, no problem, I'm going to finish it anyway. And goes ahead and does it.
Effectively unsavable. Yep. And then, of course, goal number 4.
Yep.
And this all is happening within a 6-7 minute timeline.
Yep.
Another error.
Yep.
In terms of Ederson trying to distribute the ball out.
Yep. This point, City are crumbled, right? Because John Stones does not want the ball. Otamendi does not want the ball.
Not a single player on that play was in their position.
Yep. No, and the wing-backs are suddenly all over the place. Kyle Walker is spot near half-line. Danilo has no clue what he's doing. And suddenly, Ederson comes and clears the ball. And guess who pops up, right? On paper, it seems like an okay clearance, because it still requires a touch. It still requires a lot of improvisation to go and finish that and convert it the way our man Mohamed Salah did.
But not from a man who's already had 18. I mean, at that point, 17 goals in the season. That was his 18th.
Because in the end of the day, though it was a bad clearance, it was still a clearance with some spin on it. It was still enough to make a normal player take some time to control that ball. But to touch it and score it the way Salah did, and with Ederson just watching the ball going over his head. I think another thing that Liverpool really exposed is Ederson still got to adapt to the Premier League. He did really struggle in this game. I think there were 3 visible mistakes from Ederson, 2 of them resulting in goals, obviously. But Ederson really needs to work on his overall game as well. And this was something, again, Liverpool highlighted. So that was 4-1, and my God.
And at that time, it was absolute delirium. It was absolute pandemonium. It could have been anything from there. City could have lost 7-1.
Yep, it could have been.
For all purposes practical. Yep. But this is where they sort of got out of jail, because they could have gone away with really shaken in terms of the result.
Yep.
But they eventually did not, because they could pull two goals back.
Yep.
Maybe one of them you could give them a lot of credit for.
Yeah, but
one of them maybe sheer Liverpool panic.
I think it was sheer Liverpool panic more than, like, you're completely right when you say it was sheer Liverpool panic, because at this point in time you saw Liverpool were more timid, they were nervous and they were trying not to make mistakes, and which is when they lost that flow where they were really trying not to tackle, they were really not trying to give a set piece away, they were really trying not to do anything stupid, which is when City suddenly the space opened up. Because if you looked at Liverpool for 82 minutes, they did not give them a second on the ball, they were chased on completely.
And there was very few touches that they got in the final third.
Yeah.
But that was probably the only blemish.
Yep.
For Liverpool on an otherwise spotless performance. But more importantly, Vishal, just to sum things up overall.
Yep.
I mean, this was a game where two managers went at each other with the strengths that they had.
Absolutely.
The weaknesses be damned.
Absolutely.
And we were treated to an absolute cracker of a game.
This was how football was meant to be, right? Like, before the whole tactics and strategy came into play, this was how football was meant to be, right? Like, outscore your opponent. As in, I'm sorry, but that was how football was built as a game. The objective is to outscore your opponent. And my God, Liverpool did outscore their opponent. And yes, I don't think this is any time to dwell into the weaknesses of both the teams. However, now Liverpool have laid a blueprint for the rest of the Premier League, because they have basically showed, I think a lot of credit must go to Bristol City as well, because they were the first ones to really go and attack Manchester City and almost came away with the result. But Liverpool, obviously being the better team, better quality, showed how they can run through. And I think this is a lesson for all managers, especially the top managers, because a large number of managers try to sit back against Manchester City, and sitting back against Manchester City is playing into their trap, because they will outplay you, outpass you and score a goal. So, I mean, a lot of credit to Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool, because one, to have a manager who's so committed to his way, that saying we are going to play to our strengths, if we lose we lose, if we win we win, it's all or nothing. And the beauty of this manager is, if they lose, he would have still stood by the set of players saying they gave it their best. At no point would he have sold them out saying not good enough, not bad, this thing. He would have still stood by the set of players. And
the same goes for Pep Guardiola as well.
I think a lot of credit goes to Pep Guardiola, because to come out and say openly that, you know, the mistakes were induced and I was outplayed by a Liverpool team, and congratulations to them. I think especially in the times that we are with Conte and Mourinho going at each other and taking low blows, I think this was what
was
needed.
This is great contrast to the Conte-Mourinho catfight on one side, which seems to have no context and no reason. And I mean, what are they even setting up for?
I think this,
versus these two guys just coming in and taking on each other.
This was a complete ambassador for football, because both the teams were graceful, but there was no nonsense between both the teams. It was just sheer football at its very best. Scoreline of 4-3.
And what else could you ask for?
As a pure neutral, you could not ask for anything more. And
as a Liverpool fan, you could ask for extra hurt medicine, but that's a different issue. And like we discussed the other day, this would be a game 10 years on, they would be showing in the classic Premier League matches, saying this was one of those, this was a true seven-goal thriller.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day. Which is a much-needed shot in the arm for this season, Vishal.
Yep.
Because what Manchester United's result does is, even if theoretically
it's possible,
at least opens things up.
Yep.
Or as Arsene Wenger would like to say, mathematically
possible.
It's still possible. But let's see if anything does materialize or anything becomes interesting as far as the title race goes.
Yep.
Of course, we know the race for second, third and fourth
is
going
open.
To be an
it
absolute hoot.
With Chelsea not being at their best, not close to their best, struggling to score in three games since they've gone, they scored a goal now. And Man United and Liverpool taking advantage of it, obviously. So, looks good. I think, like I said, it's still Manchester City versus, and there's the rest of the league. So, it looks good. I think the top four are decided. It's about who finishes where, because it really will take a lot of screwing up for any of these teams to drop out of the top four, because Tottenham and Arsenal have definitely not been consistent enough to finish in the top four. So, let's see where it goes from here. But, yeah, we have an exciting second half of the season coming up.
And we shall be bringing you all the storylines from that half the season. And of course, next month onwards, we begin our build-up to the World Cup.
Yep.
We have a special Champions League episode out previewing the knockout matches. Please check those out, because once again, the Anfield crowd is going to have a big role to play there too. Stuff at stake for City, and of course, not to mention United, Tottenham, as well as Chelsea. So big round of games coming up.
Yep.
And we shall keep you posted on all of those. In the meantime, you can follow us on Audio Boom. We are there on Soccer Sense. And you can also find us on any of the other podcasting platforms that you use, whether it's Pocket Casts or iTunes or any other podcast app. You can follow us on Twitter at SenseSoccer. And that's about all the time we have in this breathless episode, Vishal, that has gone on for 20 minutes and feels like has gone on only for about 5. Because that was how that game was.
Hey.
And it probably deserved that
Absolutely.
Treatment under the Soccer Sense scope.
Yep.
Trademark. So that's about all for this week. See you guys next week. This is Tariq signing off. Along with Vishal.
For a change, you'll never walk alone.
So that's the power of football. It's a United fan. Saying you'll never walk alone. See you guys soon.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.